Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, welcome to Sunday's first ever Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 119. As we said on Friday, we've switched really for my benefit, so I got time over the weekend to watch any stuff I need to watch, record, edit, get stuff out there. Okay, so this is really for my benefit, but I do like the fact that we do have some wrestling spread throughout the week now on the network. I think that's a great call.
It is a good call, and I'm very happy to do so. I will point out that, as you heard a lot on Friday's episode, guys, that we'll start this from next week. And then Graham says, I've got like 4 out of 6 things already. Can I just get a guest host in? I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't take 2 months off. No, you don't take 2 months off. Come swimming back in. We change things around so you can come on back on with me. And then you decide, oh, I'll get a guest host in. No, you don't. I don't take time off.
I remember asking you, I was like, so are we going 2 days or 9 days? And you said 9 days. And I was like, well, that's fine. But then after recording on Wednesday, yeah, I'd filled up most of the stuff by Thursday. So I was like, well, you don't have to do an episode. It would be... I didn't think you would refuse, but I thought I'd at least give the option. But yes, no, you made it on no uncertain terms that no, you would be on the other side of the... audio this week. All right, shall we get cracking then, Matt?
I think that might be best, sir, don't you?
Good! Bad!
All right, let's start off with some weekend good cop moments then.
Good!
Okay, I've got a lot to choose from, but I think the best place to start really is NXT, Graham, with... the ladder match between Pete Dunne and Kyle O'Reilly, which was absolutely phenomenal. Obviously, there was the suplex outside of the ring through the ladder. I'm thinking, like, you didn't need to do that on NXT TV. You could have saved that quite easily for another show. But this was a really, really good... It gave Kyle O'Reilly a really big chance to actually show what he could do as a singles competitor as well, which was really good. We know Pete Dunne's face is fantastic. And Kyle O'Reilly, he's just known more as a tag wrestler with Bobby Fish, obviously, but he not only wrestled really well, he bumped really well as well. Really, really, really well. I do have a question about it, though. Who the hell is under that mask?
I'm watching Mask Wrestler, so I'm getting a little confused for a second. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Part of me is thinking it's one of you, but I hope it's not.
I don't think so. Like, I'm trying to remember that last pay-per-view. Someone came out and took out Adam Cole as well. But then they made themselves clear who they were. They didn't put a mask on. So you'd think... I'm trying to remember. Was it Dexter? I'm trying to remember who it was. I'm struggling to remember who it was. So I'm wondering if it was the same person. But if it was, why would they put a mask on this time? I don't know.
Yeah, the only reason you put a mask on is you don't want people to know who it was.
Mm-hmm. Could be the disintegration then of the Undisputed Era.
Because, you know, Kyle O'Reilly's getting the push, obviously, up the ladder, and then gets the push off ladder from the one man who hasn't had a lot of success at tagging, that's Bobby Fish. Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, they've had all the glory, haven't they, with the singles belts.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite possible that Bobby Fish may be feeling, you know, the shop liver, like a better term.
Ooh, that'd be tasty.
I hope it's not, because I love the Undisputed Era, and I do hope they eventually do come up together to the main roster, because I think the Hurt Business could do a good proper rivalry.
I have a couple of ugly sweaters for Mason for Christmas. I was going to save one for next year and give him one this year. I guess I'd meant to make sure that he gets the Undisputed Era one this year then, just in case, right?
It may be too late by then, Greg.
But I don't know when it is. It's December, mid-December, I think.
It's still before Christmas.
I could give him as an early present. Hey, I know you're going to want to wear this in December, so... Only you and our few listeners will be aware of the situation, so I'm sure I can pull it off. That moment does sound like an unsure moment, but I'm sure the main focus was definitely the good cop moment, and I would agree with you. I feel really sorry for people like Pete Dunne, who, through no fault of their own, just haven't been able to compete. He was obviously featuring quite regularly, and then suddenly he just kind of got shut off. So I was actually surprised to see him appear. I genuinely didn't think we'd see him for several more months.
Well, him and Regal were both over here in England, of course, at the time when lockdown happened. And of course, Regal now back stateside, of course, as well. So I'm guessing him and Pete Dunne just went across at the same time, sort of thing, and quarantined accordingly, obviously. And now they're back on TV, and thank goodness for that, because Pete Dunne is one of the most talented wrestlers on the entire roster, not just the NXT roster. And William Regal is, well, he's just gold. Legend. Doesn't matter if he's a heel or a face, that guy just oozes class as both as a wrestler and as a commentator. That man can do no wrong. So, speaking of doing no wrong, what is your good comment of the weekend, sir?
Well, I'm going to follow on from something I talked about on Friday. I mentioned the returning MLW, and since we recorded, we've had another episode of that I managed to catch up on. They're also on Wednesdays now as well. So it's the debut of the 2020 Opera Cup. So they had two first-round matches. They'll have two more first-round matches next time. But yeah, they started off with Richard Holiday and TJP. Now, I know you're not a big fan of TJP the person, but TJP the wrestler is certainly phenomenal. And Mason and I were lucky enough to see him in Canada last year as well. And they are bringing people in from other organizations. So I know that can be a contentious issue for you as well, Matt. But anyway, they managed to bring TJP in. Not surprisingly, it was high-flying with TJP there. What was surprising was Richard Holiday actually had those sort of skill set as well. That was something I'd not really seen from him before when I've seen him on Beyond and places like that. So he managed to hold his own with that, and then obviously they went to more to his style as well. Great first-round match. Finished with Richard Holiday making it through to the next round, which wasn't a big surprise, I don't think, with him being the MLW person. And also, probably they want to give him the push as well. Now, finally, that organization has been broke up, and MJF, I nearly got his the initials mixed up because I had TJP in my mind. Now he's moved finally over to AEW. I think it's probably good that him and Hammerstone probably do get more recognition to kind of fill that void a little bit as well. Also, I thought Impact did a really good job of not emphasizing the fact that there's no fans there. I didn't kind of realize until the second match. I was like, oh yeah, this is an empty arena as well. So I thought they did a good job of disguising that fact with their camera views as well. Calvin Tankman made his debut as well. Now, somebody asked recently, which people did you not know about in 2020 who you do know about now and have impressed you? And I said off the top of my head, Joey Silver, Trey Lamar, and actually Calvin Tankman was the third person that came into my mind as well. 355 pounds, Matt, and he is super athletic as well. He's jumping over people's heads while they're running the ropes. I was like, oh my gosh. And drop kicks and everything. He's a big guy. I've only seen him a couple of times on the indies, but I think MLW, once again, have been pretty shrewd and signed up somebody who's going to make a big impact. Pretty much of a squash match. It was over way too quickly, but not surprisingly. Leo Rush appeared in one of the segments as well. Looks like I thought he'd retired, so obviously I was wrong. And it looks like his debut match could potentially be a middleweight championship match against Myron Reed, which I would certainly be up for as well. We'll be talking about Leo Rush on this week's MGB as well. And the final match was Tom Lawler and Rocky Romero. Rocky Romero from New Japan Pro Wrestling. So once again, they've got those connections from other organizations as well. Seen Tom Lawler many times. Not really as familiar with Rocky Romero, but once again, Matt, I was impressed with every single match on the whole card. Admittedly, it's only an hour show, but that's what you want. You want the people wanting more, and that's why I'm going to keep coming back each week, where perhaps you don't always get that when you have a three-hour show.
If you always come back, Graham, that's not a bad thing.
I would agree. Right. Yeah, we started looking around episode 30, and I think this is like 90 episodes later, and we're still kind of watching, so that's a good sign.
That's what about, always a good sign.
Absolutely. What about your 1 minute, then? What can you cram into a minute? I don't have my stopwatch, so you're going to have to bluff a little bit.
Good to see the Grizzled Young Veterans back on NXT. I enjoy their work. I do enjoy their work. Kushida and Thatcher match was fantastic, and Kushida made Thatcher tap out, which is something I didn't think was going to happen. Loving the intensity with Thatcher and Ciampa as well. Loving the KO show on NXT, of course, with Gargano throwing his chair at the ring and KO just requesting a new one just as a hunch. I thought it was brilliant. KO can do no wrong, in my opinion. Roman's heel book on SmackDown, it's just phenomenal. The way he just kept trashing Uso the whole time. And then, of course, the main event of the night, of course, which was Kevin Owens and Jey Uso. And then Kevin Owens, apparently now is the new challenger to Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Say that was about a minute. I wasn't checking exactly, but that seems pretty good. Just had 4 weeks to go, of course.
5 seconds short.
Oh, very impressive. All right. Well, I'm going to talk about in my segment then. Basically, last time the boys were out of town for a little bit, I actually watched some reality TV. I watched the whole first season of Miz and Mrs., and unfortunately, there wasn't the second season available. And I think good. I told you I signed up for Impact Plus. And I actually signed up for the whole year because it only worked out at $6 a week, $6 a month, sorry, if you signed up for the whole year, which I thought was a pretty good deal. That's not bad at all. So I started looking through their catalogue after watching a couple of Slammiversaries as well and a few other things. But I found, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, the Impact Boot Camp. As far as I can tell, it's from around 2013. And obviously, it's for someone to try and get a place on the roster. Party Marty Skrull, the Blossom Twins, and Rockstar Spud. Now, I already knew Rockstar Spud was part of Impact, so I kind of knew who was going to win it, but very, very entertaining. 6 episodes, I think they're only about 20 minutes each, but it was interesting to see their characters as they put them through all the little events they have to do. They have to do the promos, they have to do the wrestling, they even had, I'm trying to think, a Rollable Rocco as well was part of it as well. So it was nice. Really cool. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And one other thing from Impact Plus that I really enjoyed, the Broken Matt Hardy saga. Not just that anyway, but the fact that it was a watch-along with Ethan Page. He's so good.
You can't go wrong with Ethan Page, Graham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it. My couple of things I really enjoyed. I will probably be referencing some more things I enjoyed on Impact next week as well. I'm going to save those for right now.
Fair enough.
Good. Bad.
All right. Don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free.
Good. Bad.
Now, I got caught with going second. Unfortunately, I missed something. Matt, I think we can say without a doubt that it was a definite success, the bring back of Get the Giggle. So, I believe I have some more potentially for you. I don't know if I told you, I've started collecting British annuals, as in like Beano and Dandy. Did I mention that to you at all?
No, you'd missed that part.
Oh, okay. So, I've been collecting some older ones. Certainly, I've got some going back to the 50s, actually. So that's kind of
when
my
you were a wee child.
Well, those ones I would not be familiar with. Now, are you familiar with the Bash Street Kids, or are you too young for that?
Bash Street Kids, I'm familiar. Fatty. And there all you that go. Lot, yeah.
Now, in the annual that arrived today, they actually had some jokes, and it's all school-based as well. I was like, oh my gosh, this has just landed on a platter for me. So I'm going to give you a choice, Matt. Would you like to do maths, biology, geography, history, or English?
Wow. So basically, you could use one for each week sort of thing. I like that.
I might have 5 weeks of material, potentially. Some of them are not great, though. But sometimes the ones that aren't great make you laugh because they're just so dumb. Which subject would you like this week?
Science, please.
Science. All right, let me scroll back to the it was specifically biology, but okay. These are so specific that most people are probably going to have no idea what we're talking about right now. Where is the most common place to find a frog? Down Cuthbert Cringeworthy's neck.
Yep.
That means you remember Cuthbert. All right. What colour are the daisy and buttercup? They're black and white and brown because they're two of Farmer Hayseed's cows.
Yeah, I remember the cows.
What is the largest known creature?
Fatty.
Oh, very good. Mentioned that you remember Fatty. I was like, hey, oh, he might actually get this one. Yeah, if you hadn't remembered them, I knew that one wouldn't work at all. And the last one, I'm going to give you the joke and the answer all in one. Name five animals found in the jungle. Four lions and an elephant.
Very good.
I got my value for money out of that. I might be able to work that into a few more week segments. All right.
That last one reminds me of an exam answer, genuine exam answer once given. Someone has asked to name seven animals you find at the North Pole. And it said three polar bears and 3/4 seals.
There you go.
Fantastic. That would work.
Would you like to tell us your main bad cop moment for the week?
My main bad cop moment for the week, sir. Yes.
Is it me again?
No.
Oof.
No, that's coming later. Jey Uso is my bad cop moment of the week.
Wow.
Jey Uso, you can go to hell.
Oof.
Nobody take the chair to my boy Otis. But aside from that, an unprotected headshot with the chair. Go to hell.
I didn't think they did those anymore on WWE.
It wasn't intentional, I'm sure, but it still happened. I watched back twice and he hits him in the back of the head with the chair.
Mm.
If he hasn't been fined for that, I'm furious. I saw that and I was like, I wasn't happy about the beatdown first in character because I don't like Otis. You know, I'm a massive Otis fan, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want him to get his ass kicked, obviously, but part of the character. But when I saw the chair hit the back of his head, I'm like, no. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. That's what I got my main bad cop moment.
I got a bonus bad cop moment before I get to mine. Something we'd forgot about. You and I know, and I think we've mentioned it one time, we kind of do a 5-second pause between the main segments so we can find them easily when we do the editing. Yes. Having not edited in a little while because you've been taking care of that recently, your dramatic pauses constantly make me find the wrong part of the segment.
Well,
here we go, and it's like, oh no, here's Matt's thoughtful pause again.
I would say, but bear in mind your camera's frozen on my screen at the moment. I've been actually doing two or three like mic drops, so you can just like jump in and carry on. So
I don't know when you finish. Like, you could point at me if you want to tell me it's my turn. And
you're not moving. Is your camera working for you?
I can. Is it because I? Oh, I don't know what's going on here. That's not good. I can see you, but I don't know what's going on with me.
So I'm moving, but you're just frozen still.
I'm still frozen? Oh, well, that's annoying, isn't it? That's going to make it a little difficult. Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. I don't know.
Turn the camera off and on again quickly.
I'm not sure how to... Oh, hold on. I was trying to actually just reverse the picture and then see if that... This makes for great recording, by the way.
You're editing, well, not me.
You don't need to see me anyway for my bad cop moment, so I'm going to...
I'm now seeing your computer screen.
Yeah, because I flipped it. There we go. We're back. I thought that, but it wasn't even responding to my touch for that one. So, all right. Okay. Once again, my bad cop moment is COVID. I want to follow up with what I talked about last week in the open agenda. I cut it massively short, Matt. We went nearly 10 minutes, so I cut it to 3. Then I put the remaining 7 minutes in the bonus material on the new Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast YouTube page. And one line I did notice at the end, Mick Foley did say, because he received kind of a lot of criticism as I was talking about from this, he says, if his advice saved even one person, then it was worth it. And I would kind of agree with that as well. You're not going to affect everybody, but even if it affects a few people, so forth. Tony Deppen on Twitter. My brother was taken to the ER for trouble breathing, came up COVID positive. One day later, my mom would probably have went to his house for Thanksgiving, probably would have caught COVID and then bring it home to our baby. So we talked about Thanksgiving last week about potential issues that could happen. Dr. Fauci's been once again talking about the fact that we could be up to 4,000 deaths a week coming up pretty soon. 4,000 deaths per day. I'm sorry. We actually recently had, since recording, consecutive 2,000 day deaths for the first time since, I believe, April. So it's becoming a serious issue again. The end of Tony Deppen's tweet was, wear an effing mask. Your actions can affect more than just you. Continuing with the COVID theme, I watched Synergy last night, hashtag Black Friday. And MV Young actually pulled out of the event. He actually came into contact with somebody who had COVID. So he was good enough to let them know about that. And and then they found a replacement for that.
Chris has probably stepped up as well.
Yeah, a couple of bad things in relation to that. Obviously, this links in, though, with the Tony Deppen thing. It's very possible to be asymptomatic for a short period of time, or to not even be aware that you're a potential spreader of COVID as well. So if that had been a day later, then who knows what could have happened at that event. So there is a lot of things that are still a concern for this. The one that surprised me was Synergy put it out on social media that he was out and gave the reason and thanked him for being very responsible about it, which I thought was great. In the event itself, though, on the commentary, they actually accused him of being basically an unreliable person, which I didn't think was very fair for people who wouldn't have known that story. They mentioned that he'd missed a previous event, because his car broke down or something. We don't really know. That's what he said. And then once again, he hasn't shown up again for this event. Makes me think he's not brand of it. I did not like that at all. I thought that was a really bad cop moment when he's actually done something that was very, very responsible to not give him credit for that. I'm surprised. Is that something you don't want to mention on your commentary? I don't know. I don't like that. I really don't like that as well. I'm wondering also, it's because though there was another wrestler that also did not appear for the same reason, which was COVID. So, don't know. It was mentioned on social media, but it was not mentioned on the commentary. I didn't like it. That's why I'm putting it as my bad compliment.
I have theories.
Okay.
We've seen people in WWE obviously pulled from TV when they've tested or been around people with COVID. We've seen it with Nia Jax, Nikki Cross, Shayna Baszler. They were all hooked from shows when they came into contact with people who may have had it. Super spreader sort of thing like that. We've seen it. Apollo Crews had to do the same thing, obviously. And no acknowledgement about it at all was made on commentary at any point. Baszler was completely not talked about. Now, I do agree that, he deserves credit for, being responsible and saying, I've come into contact with these sort of people who have had it sort of thing, so I'm not going to show for that sort of thing. However, on commentary, I need to clarify something for me, Graham, because I'm not entirely sure. Was it the commentator saying that they're unreliable, or was it the person who was, quote, running the show saying that?
It was the commentator. Colin West, who runs the show, was not on camera.
Okay, cool. The reason I asked that question is because, in my point of view, that's the commentator playing kayfabe, obviously. But, to be fair, I think they've announced it professionally on the Twitter side of things. So PR wise, it's take that done properly. And but COVID should not affect storyline if you can help it. And if they can then play it into a storyline later on down the road for him, that actually works out better.
Ah.
So maybe they discuss this as a way to actually for when he returns synergy. Maybe that's the case. I'm not sure. I'm not trying to dump all of your bad cop moments, sir. I'm not.
No, it was possible it could have gone under unsure, but I already have something for unsure. So once again, we have to shoot on things in where they fit nicely. All right. What about some quicker moments then? What do you got for a minute? What else did you not like in the last few days?
Right. I'm not interested in Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler in any form in the tag team division. Not interested in the slightest. Dolph Ziggler, get lost. You had a chance. You could measure up. Get lost. Bobby Roode should be a challenger for the world championship. The ladder spot from Pete Dunne and O'Reilly is bad cop because it's only number 3 on the countdown, bizarrely. And the other bad cop moment I've listened back to episode 118, Graham. I did not say the better wrestler. I said the more important championship belt was the WWE championship. And that is what I said. And that, my friend, is why you don't accuse someone without listening back first.
I said I was going to listen back. I knew there was something I was supposed to do in the last 3 hours, and I ran out of time. I was like, what else was I supposed to do? Ah, well, you already managed to do it. There was 2 segments that we disagreed on, but I'm sure you just listened to one of those 2 segments.
Listened to both of them on both occasions, and I was right, Graham, and you just tried to twist the other one around to work for your own good. So, nice try.
What was the number 1 and number 2 moment from NXT, just out of interest?
Number 1 was Kyle O'Reilly being pissed off the ladder.
Yeah.
And number 2 was Team Candice walking out of the ring.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. I'm going to do mine in 2 parts, Matt, so it might take technically longer than a minute, but my first one I want to talk about is Masked Wrestler finished this week, which was great, but they didn't show the winner, so we got to wait another week now to find out who the winner was. I thought they were going to take both masks off. Did not like that side of it at all. Cameos are actually doing some discounts because of Black Friday, so I went to look to see, oh, was there any wrestlers we can get a good deal on? Matt, I'm going to read you 12 names. These people are doing special offers at $100, but they're only doing 15 of them because they're so elite. So I'm thinking people like Undertaker, like he limits his to certain numbers. Just do a quick count of how many of these people you've heard of, Matt, okay? All right, J.L. Corvin, T.J. Lavin, Barry Williams, Boston's Rob Marry something, I can't even see, I think it's Marquesas, Nick Hexum, Bronson Pinchot, Rusty Wallace, Mike Singletary, Kathy Najimy, Leonard Marshall, Phaedra Parks, and Anthony Crivello. They're the stars for $100. I was that's a bad cop moment. I did not find anything that kind of got my interest.
Well,
how many, Matt?
Well, Rusty Wallace, you said, didn't you?
Yeah, I did say Rusty Wallace. I've heard of 2 of the 12.
He's a NASCAR Hall of Famer.
Correct. I'd heard of Rusty Wallace, NASCAR Hall of Famer. Correct.
Did you say Kathy Najimy?
Kathy, and some of them I don't know because I don't know how you pronounce them. Najimy.
I'm
familiar with them.
She is from Hocus Pocus.
She is from Hocus Pocus. She oh,
yeah. Very good in Hocus Pocus. Brockton Pinchot. Beverly Hills Cop, Graham. Come on.
This is Beverly Hills Cop. I did not recognize his face either when I looked at it.
Fair enough.
That's probably 35 years old, though, in all fairness as well. If it had been Eddie Murphy, then I would have known who it was.
The others, not quite so sure.
3 out of 12. I'd heard of Mike Singletary as well, because he's an NFL player. He's a Hall of Famer for NFL. But from all those lists, though, and I was like, oh, they're only offering 15, and they're reducing it to $100? I was really excited. And when I saw those names, I was like, oh, man. And I mention it now because I don't have the open agenda this week either. So I thought it would fit in there.
Good. Bad.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
Good. Bad.
All right. I guess really that should have been my unsure segment, as I was unsure who any of those people were, but never mind. All right, Matt, what are you unsure of these last few days?
I'm surprised you didn't mention Jesse Metcalf, to be fair, Graham, who's from the Housewives, because that would have been a very popular one, I'm sure. Kim Jong-un, Ricky Lake.
Out. Like, if you'd gone lower, they put the top names. Oh, one of them was the lead singer from, who is it, 311? They kind of sound half familiar. One was from the Brady Bunch. I assume you're looking at the page right now.
I am.
Lower, who I'd heard of, like CeeLo Green was on that list. I was like, oh, I've heard of CeeLo Green. I wouldn't want a cameo from him for $100, but hey.
Chuck Liddell, Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle wasn't on that list of bonus
page
ones.
Page 2, Graham.
I looked on page 2. Kurt Angle wasn't on there, was
Kurt Angle was there, underneath Casey Frey.
That must be the British edition. He wasn't on when I looked.
Yeah, they're £83 for us, Graham, as well, so... Although, Third Entertainer is on here as well.
The AC on is probably even more shipping and handling.
I'm not handling Third Entertainer, Graham. Forget that. Anyway, right. So my unsure cop moments of week, sir. I've got to admit, I didn't find a lot which fell into each category. I've got to admit. So what I've got is I'm not sure. I watched the Buddy Murphy match with King Corbin, everyone's favorite King Corbin. And obviously Buddy Murphy picked up the W after Dominic Mysterio pushed Corbin's foot off the ropes. Now, people are thinking, like, why isolated this an unsure moment? Are you laughing or are you yawning?
No, I'm laughing. That's such an American phrase, isn't it? Picked up the W?
I have been listening to a lot of American shows, Graham.
That's true. That is true. Sorry.
I'm on American Network.
So I don't know why that tickled my fancy so much, but I just lost it for a second.
W's a W. Right, okay. So anyway, I wasn't sure. Transform's gone now. Thanks there, Graham. Yes. Murphy picked up the win after Dominic shoved his foot off the rope. Now, this is quite a insignificant moment, you'd think, but I'm sorry, I don't get... I mean, I know that, like, Murphy is now buddy-buddy with the Mysterios, but why would Dominic, who is meant to be a face, babyface for that matter, well, not to say babyface, perform a heelish move like that? I mean, don't get me wrong, I like seeing layers of characters. I do.
Yeah.
Part of me wonders if they're going to slightly steer back towards the whole Dominic Guerrero triangle from 15 years ago. It would annoy me if they did. But I thought of that, and in my hair, I thought that was so edgy. I was like, they wouldn't. And I remember...
never say that with Vince.
And then I remembered who's in charge of our company. Vince McMahon, of course he would. That's my main moment. Because I've only got one other moment to talk about, but I'm going to give my whole speech to talk about that. So, what are you unsure about this weekend, Graham?
Well, I'm gonna do your tactic. I'm gonna ask you a question because I know you love to do that with me.
I like asking questions.
I noticed. So this stems from an interview I saw with on Chris Van Vliet this week. It was with the Pro Wrestling T-shirts owner, whose name I forgot to write.
Yes.
Now, I actually made the most of the holiday offers. I didn't do Black Friday or anything like that. Matt, some people are actually still outside stores. I saw people in on somebody was on a bed. Benjamin posted a picture outside the game store, I think it was in Norfolk, Virginia. Like,
GameStop,
oh,
yeah.
Crazy.
They took the whole bed down now. I'm like, bravo.
Yeah, I didn't do that, but I did go online. I did order 10 t-shirts. I got my 20% off. I got my free shipping, and apparently I get an autographed 8x10 as well. So I was pretty happy with that. It kind of links in with that story anyway. Now, I was unsure if you would know this, though, Matt. Chris Van Vliet asked him a few questions, so I'm going to see what you think about this.
Okay.
Top-selling t-shirt of the year so far, obviously. We're pretty much through the year. We're 11/12 of the year through, pretty much.
Hmm. As in general, yeah?
As in the one that sold the most.
No, I mean, is it one company or is it all companies?
It's a wrestler. It's a wrestler.
I would assume it would probably be either...
Years ago. Obviously, it's Austin 316. Obviously, we're going back a long time. So what would it be? Have you noticed around the streets of England?
No one, because they've been all indoors. I mean, last year, I saw lots of people walking around in Chomper shirts. I've got to admit, a lot of people walking around in Chomper shirts this time last year. They were all in Wrestle Chomper shirts. It was great. Okay. This year, I imagine it's probably either a Jericho, a Moxley, or an Orange Cassidy shirt.
All right. Do you want to pick one of those three? Or do you just
want to pick three? Of those three, I'm thinking maybe it's just Jericho. He's so good at merch. A little bit of the bubbly or something like that.
Orange Cassidy. It's the orange shirt that I actually have. I meant to wear it for today because I'm actually wearing... I actually put the pullover on top. I was going to undo the zip and then I was going to reveal like the orange color. And I totally forgot. Wow. That shows you how much of an impact he's made. That's why they're not messing with his character. He is beloved right now.
He's a merch machine.
Question two. Who was the top-selling wrestler of the year? Like, Orange Cassidy only has, like, one shirt or two shirts at the most. So which wrestler has sold the most combined number of shirts? Like, to give you an example, while you're... Like, when they ask music questions, like, what's the favorite album? The Beatles always get screwed because the vote gets split between several different ones because people like different ones. So, sorry, did you give an answer?
I did. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
Oh, The Fiend. Okay, I misheard what you said. No, it was your previous answer, Chris Jericho. All right.
It was one of the two. They're so popular right now, those characters.
The last question. At this point, more or less sales than 2019, considering COVID as a factor?
More.
It was. I was really surprised by that. He said his aim each year is to sell 1 cent more than the previous year. He said he doesn't go for anything higher than that because... Basically, he's at a level now where if he achieves the same thing, that's still a good success. So I'm not sure when this interview was recorded, but certainly, even if we're looking at just today, only 11 months into the year, and they've already done better business than they did last year. And I was surprised by that with COVID. I would have thought that that would have been, there's probably been less people going to events and then wanting to get the merch. Go ahead, Matt.
You're unsure. You said, obviously, because you're unsure, because you weren't sure if I knew the answer to this. So, well played. But it was...
You do that like probably two or three times a month.
It was an obvious answer though, Graham.
You think so? I don't. I was surprised when he said they earned more. Graham, I honestly thought it was.
Graham, what have you been doing every chance you get on MGB and Good Cop, Bad Cop?
Not buying t-shirts.
No, but you've been encouraging people to go out there and support independent wrestlers and buy merch.
I guess that's an obvious answer.
I'm not surprised. People are supporting. People are doing what they can to support the locals, to help them so much. And, first chance I get, I'll probably be acquiring, through some means or another, probably for your good self, a new Golden Pinky Society shirt.
I saw there was one on Pro Wrestling Tees, which kind of surprised me, actually. I looked up BCW and I saw that they had a shirt on there and it wasn't the one I have. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't get it, but I was like, oh, I was kind of...
The man himself, Benjamin Banks, a very good friend of both of us, of course. In fact, he's come back on the Game Junkies next year, Graham, so that'll be an episode you'll have to listen to. He's he's done so well with his own weight loss and everything. Then he told me, once I've lost enough weight, but he will show me a move or two. I'm like, I look forward to being taught by amazing men.
You're there already. I know you were motivated anyway, but that's like, yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's just added another whole new level to this. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm not thinking he's going to teach me how to, like, do like body slams or nothing, but maybe money shuffle, that'll do.
All right, what have you got for your speed check then?
Sami Zayn, actually. Obviously, he's, ever since he came back, he's actually been knocking out the park. AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy, Bobby Lashley of Survivor Series, now Daniel Bryan this week. He's done a really good job. But the move he did this week was, he did a move on, quote, the hardest part of the ring, which I know you and Mason hate that phrase. I find it funny because you hate it.
I find it funny now because they actually used it on Synergy jokingly as well last night. They're like, go on, say it. And he's like, all right, it's the hardest part of the ring.
But even if it's not the hardest part of the ring, it's certainly an awkward piece of the ring.
Yeah.
And the move that Sami Zayn performed on Daniel Bryan looked brutal, effective, and oh my god, I think he's killed him sort of move. It was a brainbuster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but you just did a brainbuster on a man who has recovered from a long-standing range of concussions. Not exactly the smartest move. I mean, I know you can get concussions from any sort of move, but a brainbuster, it's called that for a reason. And in fairness, if you miss on that apron, that's quite the drop, and not good. It was phenomenal to see, but it was terrifying to see at the same time. So I'm unsure about it.
I was just about to say, that sounds like that should have been in the previous segment, but all right, you managed to twist it to meet your needs. All right, mine, I actually had a couple of things, but you already kind of addressed them earlier, so I'm going to kind of leave one of them to the side. Yeah, you already talked about KO, so I'm going to leave that. I thought it was really good. I was just surprised that he was actually doing that rather than, he might be injured. I just don't realize what's keeping up with him right now. How on earth, Matt, did it take me so long to realize how good Kushida is? Like, last week, I was like, oh, he's a lot better than I realized. And then this week, that match with Timothy Thatcher, I was like, you're an idiot. How did I not pick up on how amazing he actually is? I guess it's really a bad cop moment on me, but I was unsure what took me so long. What other evidence did I need? Perhaps I've just not been paying. Perhaps I need to stop playing on my phone when I watch wrestling. That might be the key to this that one. And the other one I just saw this morning, it's only an unsure moment because of you. Lady Frost is facing Red Velvet on AEW Dark on Tuesday. I think it's a good cop moment. You think it's a bad cop moment. And for that reason, it's an unsure cop moment.
No.
Yeah, I don't know what you're putting your hand up for. We're not in class right now. Go ahead.
No, that's me waiting. I'm saying, I want her to do well. I just think that she's not going to ever progress to Dynamite.
Okay.
And that's a waste of all the talent that's on Dark, even if you ask me.
Oh, I should have mentioned this actually as a good cop moment. Lady Frost just hit 10,000 followers on Twitter. I'm pretty sure when I followed her about 18 months ago, I think she was on like 1,000, 1,500, something like that. That's a dramatic rise, Matt. That's somebody who's on the up and up. I think anyone who's doubting Lady Frost, I think that's a dangerous game to play.
Good! Bad! This is going to sound a little bit weird, but my open agenda, Graham, is basically, last one we recorded was the day before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't recorded since then, and I haven't had a chance to actually say what I'm thankful for.
Oh, okay. You said you said you were going to berate me at some point in the episode, so I figured
I've done that.
That's why I was hiding my face. I was like, oh, what have I done now in the last 3 days?
No. I want to think what I'm thankful for, because I haven't had a chance to think what I'm thankful for. I'm a token American, so I'll take it. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful that all of them are so far, touch wood, surviving through this has been the year of hell. Anyone who thought last year was crap, we didn't know what we should have been so grateful for 2019. It was such a good year compared to this year. And yet, there is so much still to be thankful for. I saw a thing on Reddit the other day, which I shared on Facebook yesterday. I thought that 2020 was going to be the year when I got everything I ever wanted. 2020 turned out to be the year that I was grateful for what I have. So many people out there this year have lost their loved ones, have lost colleagues, friends, family, entire populations devastated because of this. Brazil comes to mind straight away. They didn't have a chance, but they've gone to the favelas. I'm grateful for all of them being alive. I'm thankful for everyone I care about being sensible. Everyone I know is being sensible. So many idiots out there, unfortunately. And that's all obvious stuff, though. Other things I'm really thankful for. I'm thankful for Alex for being my tag partner on Game Junkie, celebrating our 2-year anniversary yesterday, which was fantastic. Started that show just to help his confidence, and now several huge interviews later, a trip to EGX, they were 2 years old. Fantastic. I'm thankful to Chad, Caitlin, Kerry, Alex, and Ailey Dungeons and Junkies for keeping me sane during lockdown, because without Dungeons and Dragons, I don't think I'd have got through it. I mean it seriously. I needed something to keep my mind busy, Graham. There wasn't much wrestling going on at the time. I needed something to keep me going.
I'll send you a Sudoku puzzle.
They're too easy. I am.
I've got the perfect one for you then.
I am thankful to Mags and Conrad for my Talk of the Table co-hosts, because without them, I couldn't do that show. I am thankful to you for being an older brother that I've never had. Yes, I've got an older sister, but I've never had an older brother, and you're the older brother I've never had. So thank you for helping me stay sane for a lot of really, really dark moments, especially this year, living on my own until meeting with Chris. Thank you. You will never know how much that meant to me. Thank you, of course, to everyone on all the network for putting us on the air in the first place. We do not know how much it means to me that we get thousands of people listen to these shows every week. Or certainly have the capability of doing so across Spotify, etc., like that, Apple Podcasts, everything like that.
Overcast.
Everywhere, which is fantastic. Thanks to my brother James for being a great co-host on What You Talk About Willis and Intel Gossip. And Speedy Recovery does RTC and Prayer, of course, as well. Wouldn't have thought that about you, sir. And don't take this the wrong way, Graham, but there's one more person I really need to thank.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
Oh, of course.
I would not be where I am now without you. This past week has been the worst week of the entire year for me, emotionally. Without him, I don't know what I'd have done. And it's a pleasure to do your editing and your producing for you on your show. basically, I'm thankful to all the kind people in my life. One of the most important things I was ever taught growing up was, if you can't say anything, that's nothing at all. If in doubt, just be kind. This year, me and Chris made a simple pledge at New Year for our New Year's resolution. We're just going to be kind to people. That's all we've done all year. We've just been kind. And being kind to other people is the way to go. I ought to be thankful in life. I wanted so much this year. I had journalism passes to go to EGX and interview people. I had chances to meet celebrities and things like that if that had gone ahead. And that would have been great. I'll get that again. I'll get that once the vaccines are out there. I'll be back at EGX next year. Once the vaccines are out there, they'll be allowed to lift restrictions. I'll be able to do all of that. I can go and watch Liverpool play at Anfield. I can watch wrestling live in person again. I can go anywhere I want to go again. But this year, I've realised sometimes the things that you need the most are the things you already have. And for that, I'm thankful. And here ends the lesson.
I'm going to add one thing in. It was no surprise you mentioned Chris. I actually honestly thought, because I saw the post, it was your 2-year anniversary this week as well. Thought that might have got mentioned. I did see a very strange, this would be I know Good Bad Cop actually posts some pretty bad food takes. He said you went for a coffee and a Pepsi. That's a really strange mix. I don't think I've ever tried that drink before.
It wasn't together, sir. It wasn't together. I had a coffee, he had a Pepsi Max.
Oh, it was one each. Well, fancy not figuring that out. Should we move on to the Devil's Advocate?
Let us do just that, sir.
Good! Bad!
As you know, it makes no difference to me whatsoever. I know I gave you the choice last time. I'm going to give you the same option again. Would you like to go first, or would you like to go second?
I will receive mine first, sir.
Okay. Let me just quickly get this set up. For helping me with this one. I'll mention them afterwards, but yeah, this kind of comes from them. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned the fact that I haven't mentioned something. Perhaps you didn't see the post on Twitter. You have been working, though, today, I believe, right?
I have.
All right, this one might not make sense. This one won't make sense anyway for the first two lines anyway. All right, Matt, here you go. Despite the surprise from some listeners on Friday's episode, I still want the chief of spinal surgery with a joint appointment in neurosurgery and orthopedic surgery at the University of Maryland St. Joseph's Medical Center in Baltimore, Maryland, to appear at War Games and not Pat.
Well, of course. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure that McAfee would be the person to come for it. I don't care if McAfee or McCaffrey. I do not give a damn, okay, Max? I know exactly which is you doing it here. I'm going to have words with you on Talk of a Table next weekend, I tell you. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. But tell you what, that doctor should get in the ring, because you know what? Then he can perform his own spinal surgery.
Time. I think it was more the fact that you said Paul McAfee. And I did listen to the tape for that one. Yes, you did.
I did.
Mags did actually say the same thing. At least if Roderick Strong hits his backbreaker, Paul McAfee can rehab himself, no bother. I will send you a picture later of who that person is.
Okay, well, in that case then, in complete retaliation then, I ignore my open agenda. Let's not be nice to you here.
You ignore your open agenda? You're passing?
No, my open agenda is my Devil's Advocate, sir.
Oh, sorry, of course.
Your Devil's Advocate, sir. For the benefit of the tape, if I say I mean Graham. Defend this statement. So many amazing new shirts are available right now, but I'm not going to buy the tacky one that Shotzi Blackheart has. I'm going to buy the one for King Corbin.
Oh, absolutely. We saw the one with Shotzi, and I don't know. It's not up to a normal standard. WWE is hit and miss with things like this. Now, King Corbin, the fact they put King there, how can you argue with royalty, Matt? Being British as well, that's clearly the way to go. We admire him as a heel. We don't like him as a person, but we admire the fact the skills he puts forward as a wrestler, so why not acknowledge that?
Time.
I can't remember what it says on her shirt. You showed it to me. I blanked straight away. I was like, I cannot remember what it said on her shirt.
You're terrible, you are. Eat my tank.
Oh, that was it. That was it. Now, I'll tell you one. While I was looking through on shirts, because I was like, if you buy 10, you get free shipping. So I was looking for different ones. I was looking through different indie wrestlers, and I actually looked at Lainey Look as well. And I looked at one shirt, and I was like, oh, that's a pretty cool shirt. I can't remember what the phrase on it was, but I nearly bought it for Mason, and basically it was something about, I'm on drugs. That was the one that came into my head, and I was like, that's not her, that's not Shotzi, that's Lainey, and I could not remember what it was at all. I can't remember what the phrase is that cool kids on the street are using, but yes, it was not a shirt that I could end up getting for him, which was a shame.
Cool kids on the street, Graham.
But perhaps not the kids.
That's,
they're probably using that lingo, though. All right, you're going to look it up on your phone. I think we're that. Anyway, right?
I was going to. We're not out until I show you that. Look at that. That's terrible.
Oh, I don't think that's too bad.
It's in gold ink, apparently.
I've seen far worse shirts than that.
I haven't.
Ember Moon.
On that bombshell, we're out of here.
Off the top of my head. All right, Don.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.
Now, with it technically being only 2 days between episodes, I know we don't have any podcasts to talk about.
There is one podcast I'd like to advise anyone who hasn't had a chance to this week, Graham, yet, go listen to. And that is this week's View from the Top Rope, of course, because they've got a very special guest on their show. Young Kelsey, of course, making her return to podcasting for 1 week only. Very happy to hear those sultry tones of Kelsey's voice. Who, of course, was a lot of inspiration for some stuff in MGB back in the day, of course, Graham. So she's got a lot to answer for.
Definitely. In terms of PG programming, when we were initially searching for a podcast that Mason could actually listen to that was appropriate, which was so difficult in those days, Kelsey's was the one that kind of stood out for that. And the story that I still remember most in relation to that is we were listening in the car with Jackson. And I can't remember the exact phrase or something, but we were listening. It was nothing major. And then Jackson...
She said a naughty word.
She said a naughty word. And it was like, she said stupid. I was like, I was dying. I was like, and that was probably as bad a word as you'd probably get from Kelsey's podcast. So it was very funny. But no, it was great to hear Kelsey. And Bad Cop would definitely like to apologize again for asking that totally inappropriate question. We even prefaced it by saying, please don't ask that question. And Chad didn't care, and he went ahead and answered it anyway. But I was dying, man. I had tears rolling down my face listening to that segment.
You are fully aware that Chad will just do that anyway, right? You corralled half of wrestling Twitter to ask me questions. Okay? Do you really think he's not going to ask every single question?
I still think I should put a poll out to see if Twitter thinks that should be one of the Christmas crackers or not. I think it's 6 hours of
questions. I can't do that.
You can't, but perhaps I can put that as a bonus episode of Good Cop, Bad Cop.
Have you really got the time to do that, Graham? I don't think you have.
Merge two segments together? Skip the first 30 minutes? You know I skip the first 30 minutes of View from the Top Rope because it's always other stuff. So I like get to the questions. That's what I want to hear. And then I want to hear the questions. That's what I want to hear.
Okay, which is the reason why you never... And you shouldn't have my questions either, which is why you've listened to the last 2 weeks. I haven't had any questions sent in.
I have listened to your questions fairly recently, I remember. But I had skipped those before because I'm like, it's just going to be Pokemon talk or Dungeons & Dragons.
I've never asked those questions. I only ever asked wrestling questions.
Okay. Perhaps I judged a little too quickly then.
I will see you next Saturday. I'm out of here.
Boom.